Welcome to another episode of That's So Cincinnati. Our special guest today is someone I'm very much looking forward to talking to. I've heard and seen a lot of his work, but I wrote a story last week. It's Andrew Salzbrunn, and he is bringing a nation MGM bet space to the banks. And so I wrote a story about it, and I was like, he does so many things. Can you come on the podcast? And here we are. He is the co-founder, executive creative director of Blink. He's a partner in Nation Kitchen and Bar, which is why I was writing about him. And he was the managing partner of Agar. And if you haven't heard of Agar, you've definitely seen the things that Agar has done. So we're going to talk about those three prongs of his life. And at just 38 years old, we're going to see how he's done that all. And I have a surprise. Special guest host today, Jason Williams.
Oh, hey, what's up? I'm gazing out the window, and I forgot I was on the podcast.
I just kind of grabbed him in the hallway,
you guys. Watching the Taylor Swift stage go up as we record this, and it's pretty fascinating. And hey, by the way, glad to be back.
We missed you. We love Burl, but we missed you, yeah. Burl.
Thanks for having me fill in.
When you're the boss, Burl had like a special boss meeting. So Jason kindly answered my text.
Yeah, great to be back with you. And always love the That's So Cincinnati podcast.
So since we are going to talk about Nation, would you just walk through, Jason, all the things we've ever written about the banks and the stadiums. Do you just walk from the Inquirer to the Red Stadium now to write your sports column?
And well, when I go just down there, I just walk. Like I walk there, and it's great. And not always walk, but sometimes I drive.
But tell us, what do you think about the banks these days?
I'm still pretty critical of the banks. I still think it could be better. But I think it's getting there. I love this idea of Nation and the BetMGM Sportsbook coming together. I think that's a good partnership. That's a great location. I like seeing local businesses there. I love the Holy Grail. I love it's simple. It's a sports bar. You need more of those kinds of things. It's funny, when I was driving in today, as we record, the Taylor Swift is coming up here and the big lines down there, and seeing it and thinking like, okay, what would the folks who are in line there, what would they want to do after they get their merchandise, and they're in line for
the timing is honestly perfect. There's no way you guys can have missed like the social media stories about these. Yeah. The merch line is a little crazy today. There has to be at least 1,000 people in it. It opened up at midnight, but the sales started at 10 a.m., which is perfect to filter all of the people in that line right over to the banks.
Yeah. But yeah, no, I still truly believe, I love the local restaurants, Nation, Holy Grail. But I still think that if you would put even some more simple chains in there, Chipotle, maybe even a Skyline Chili, which is a local chain, obviously. To me, you've got some higher end things there. You've got a sports bar. You're going to have the sports book with Nation. To me, it's like, if you can get even some more simpler things in there, a Chick-fil-A, something like that, I think that brings a nice mix, especially when you're thinking about what draws people to the banks. Well, a concert, a ball game, a football game. Like, to me, those are things that people want. And those are things that I know I can go and stop there to real quick get this, or I can go and sit down somewhere. And, I still go back to what John Barrett said about the banks a long time ago. It's a, what did he call it? A C, and it could have been an A, but you can't sit and dwell on the past.
That is a famous line. Yes.
You can't sit and dwell on the past. So let's get going here. There's still a lot of work to be done. I just think there are just things that it's incomplete. And I wonder, what is it, 12 years in since they officially launched the banks project?
Yeah, 2008, the Holy Grail. 2011. The Holy Grail opened. They were the first bar to open down there on St. Patrick's Day.
So you think about it this way, and there are a lot of positives, and I just think it could be better. And I want it to be better for the greater good of Cincinnati. And you think about the transformation of Over the Rhine, and there's been things that have moved faster and Over the Rhine where you've had to redevelop old buildings, tear old buildings down versus a blank slate at the banks on the front porch, more prime real estate. And yet you're still sitting here looking at empty spaces. And let's go.
Well, I think with the bringing of all of the residents, we talk about this all the time on this podcast, the downtown series we're writing and the idea of all of these different buildings that are coming online for residential. I think we will see even more development the banks is in walking distance of all of the projects that are discussed in those stories.
But also be nice to see more aesthetically pleasing residential as well. Those have obviously been highly criticized. I think if you bring more residential online at the banks, which is you and I are sitting here in our podcast studio, we have a great view of the banks and the stadium. We're looking at a blank lot here that would be a great place for more residential. And
correct. That's the big question mark. What's going to go there?
Correct.
Yeah.
And but you're right. You're right.
That's right next to
me. You think about Holy Grail, and we've talked to our friend Jim Mooring about this. We all have over the years. But it's great for places like that when there's games, when there's a concert, Reds game, Bengals game. But what about the other 300 days a year, pretty much.
People are starting to go down.
There's less than that because there's 81 home games of the Reds. But, and so that's where you need the residential. You need more residential to be able to sustain those businesses throughout the course of the year. And, yeah, I think that I can't imagine that if you built more residential there, that people wouldn't want to live there. A lot of young folks and
Agreed, between the stadiums and the great restaurants. The Brady Center's there now.
Yeah. Yeah. It's there.
Have you been?
I have not.
I have been. It's a very good concert venue. It's very intimate in there and you can feel part of things. I think we're mostly there, you guys, but I ask a question and you get the answer. Jason's been covering it a long time, just like me.
I think this is going to be great with the Nation Sportsbook. What I'm glad about there, Sherry, is that it complements Holy Grail. Great. What I was concerned about was are you going to put another sports bar, traditional sports bar, and then. And yeah, again, on a game day, they'll both be packed. You'll have people waiting outside the door for both. But now it's not just, it's a different concept.
Agreed. Yeah. And also the Holy Grail is almost like the Dora because it's an open drinking district. It's almost like the headquarters of the Dora too. And so it skews things in a different direction.
Yeah. And you think about the Holy Grail, you think about a traditional sports bar. Nation is not. Nation's, it's a restaurant, and now you're mixing that with the sports book being in there. I like it. I like that a lot. I like what's done there. And then again, you didn't just throw another sports bar in there. Cause I think that would probably been a natural thought. And again, great. Glad that it was a great partnership. We'll have Andrew here in a few minutes, but just a smart guy, creative, and the Reds are creative, and for them to come together and come up with something different rather than, it probably could have been easy to just throw even a Buffalo Wild Wings or some kind of rah, rah, sports bar-y. Cause we got a sports book in the back room and that kind of thing. I'm sure that would have been a real easy thing to do, but they thought it through. They were creative. To me, the Holy Grail is the Holy Grail, of the sports bars around here, and at least locally. And the fact that you just have something that complements that is a lot of credit due to the Reds and Nation folks and Andrew. So, yeah.
All right. It's going to be open by this fall, and let's bring on Andrew and we'll really talk about it. Special special guest time here on That's So Cincinnati. Our guest today, as I talked about earlier, is Andrew Salzbrunn. I am so excited to talk to him today, just because the list is long. You've been to things he's helped create. You've been to his restaurants, and there's so much more we don't know about him that you're just going and doing and enjoying that he has brought to us. And so we're going to figure out where all of the creativity comes from today. Welcome.
Awesome. Thanks for having me, guys.
What's up, Andrew?
Not much. I'm looking forward to a busy weekend and 4th of July coming up. So excited to celebrate a little bit of Americana and just, you know, continue to build things here in Cincinnati.
Hey, you're the owner of a Nation. Big exciting news just announced, Nation partnering with MGM Sportsbook, right?
Yeah, BetMGM and the Reds as well.
And the Reds on the new restaurant, yeah. Sportsbook at the Banks.
Yeah, fourth location. Going to be right there in front of the main entrance to the Red Stadium. We're super honored that, you know, the Reds reached out to us and asked us if we would be interested in a big partnership. It'll be our largest space and definitely a new territory for us in sharing that space with a sports book. But we're thrilled. We're sprinting towards an opening date of this fall. But the biggest thing that we're toting out there is, you know, it's going to be the best place to watch sports in the city, just from an audio visual experience and be able to eat some awesome cheeseburgers along the way.
French fries.
Yeah.
The Coolidge House knows that. Like, yes. I like the French fries because we go to the Westwood Nation. So
nice.
The fries.
When the Reds approached you, was it like, wow, this is different for Nation? It's unique. Obviously, sports betting is generally still new.
Yep.
Did you have any hesitation at first, or did you think like, oh, this is, well, the creative juice is just flowing right away?
Yeah, I mean, it's unique and new for everybody involved. You know, for the Reds, for BetMGM, this is the first time that they're doing a restaurant sports book that they that with an outside partner. They've got a couple other locations across the U.S. that are more like concession stand vending, where you can get a hot dog or a hamburger, but it's not table service. So it's a new foray for everybody. Great partners all around.
Yeah.
I think we were really encouraged by that. You know, candidly, when we agreed to do this, the Reds were not on the hot streak that they're on right now. So that, you know, I think the timing, we got really lucky in terms of what the last 45 days have looked like for the performance of the team. But we think it's going to be a unique offering for the Banks, in a big space. And, we're just excited to get the place open.
And for anyone listening who maybe are trying to figure, you know, it's in the old Gala Park.
Yeah, Gala Park.
Gala Park, sorry. Yeah, I always call it Gala Park.
All good. Former Gala
Two
Park.
Two L's.
Crave Space as well.
Oh my gosh, you're taking us back now, Crave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
And it's uniquely situated. It's right at the end, the southernmost point of the streetcar line. It's right on the front doorstep of the stadium.
It's a great location.
Yeah, we're excited. Yeah.
Is it going to... Will it have a different name, or just because there's two businesses coming together?
Yeah.
Three really.
Yeah. So it's unique in that, the way the state of Ohio, regulates, sports gambling and sports books. There'll be two entrances to the space. One that is dedicated solely to BetMGM, one that's dedicated solely to Nation Kitchen and Bar. The whole space on the inside is one open room. But there is a dedicated, area where you have to be 21 and up to play sports bets. So you can definitely bring your kids in. You'll be able to experience the whole thing. But if you want to place a bet on the kiosk, you have to go to one area.
So there's no wall between Nation and
No,
exactly. Once you're inside, it's all one big.
Exactly. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. So cool. Really,
but
exciting.
For weekends like this, it's such a good fit for the Banks.
Yeah.
Because it's elevated food that's not there right now. And so like all the Taylor Swift fans would be going there eat. And it's not necessarily thinking about a sports book, but on game day, people might be like, there's a sports book right there.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, from an amenity standpoint, it's going to be really nice. Like the finishes and FF&E selections are going to be the quality that you would expect from a BetMGM. Mm-hmm. And I think that's going to be a nice add to the Banks overall. So.
Well, it's good too to bring a local restaurant, mm-hmm. like that we're not going out and getting some chain or some outside.
It's not Applebee's. Yeah.
Yeah, even, you know, I mean, there's obviously been some things at the Banks where they brought some outside restaurants in and they haven't worked. And it's good. It's good to have a local brand, a local company, local people.
Yeah, absolutely.
Open in there.
I do have to ask. So there's three other ones. So there's one in Westwood, one in Pendleton was the first one, and one in Milford.
Yep.
So I didn't ask that because I did write a story about this. And then everyone after I wrote the story is like, is the Pendleton one going to stay open? And I didn't. I was like, I didn't ask, which is a terrible thing as a reporter ever to have to admit out loud. Is that one staying open?
Sure. That's the plan right now. You know, it was our first foray into the restaurant business. It's not something, the backstory on that is that we set out to open a bar that happened to serve food in an effort to reclaim that neighborhood in that corner from it being the highest trafficked intersection for heroin in the state of Ohio. We realized on night one that we kind of shot ourselves in the foot and hired a really good chef, Kayla Robinson, who just left Arnold's and is doing some of her own TV spots now. But we realized that we're like, oh man, we just opened a restaurant. We thought we were in the bar business. And so it spiraled and in a good way. And so the plan is to keep that open, operating. You know, it's an anchor in the Pendleton neighborhood. That district has definitely built up around it. And it's a fun corner of the city to be, you know, city adjacent. But you get a lot of the amenities of a small neighborhood. So
yeah, definitely. Yeah.
I have been. People are like, oh, this weekend. I'm like, don't forget about Pendleton.
If you want to get away from
the walking distance, but it's not what people at the foremost of like right there.
Yeah.
At the different things, I'm like, don't forget about Pendleton.
Yeah, no, I appreciate that.
Nations in Westwood, Pendleton, Viet the Banks. What's the other location?
Milford.
Okay.
Yeah. So we just opened that last year. Right across from Little Miami Brewing. We're sharing a parcel with the Cincinnati Distilling Restaurant over there as well.
Cool. It's also a great, cool
area. Yeah. I mean, very different environment, very unique space as well. It's the area where the bar is the, I think it's the oldest still standing home in the state of Ohio. Which posed its own unique construction challenges and everything. Yeah. But we're just thrilled to be out in a corner of the region that we hadn't had access to previously and to be able to contribute out there. So
let's go back. So you, because you have this trio of things, like what was first, like what's the origin story? Yeah. But take us back to college and like, what did you want to be when you grew up?
That's a great question. So I grew up, kind of always being an entrepreneur. When I was about 12 years old, I came home from school one day and then the guy up the street asked me to cut his grass. And, I said, great. This is, you know, $20 at that time felt like $500. And so I ran home, pulled the lawnmower out of the garage and I was halfway down the driveway. And my dad goes, what are you doing with my lawnmower? And I said, well, guy up the street's going to pay me to cut the grass. It's $20. It's going to be awesome. He's like, well, it's my lawnmower. And I said, well, can I use it? And he's like, I'll rent it to you for a dollar. And I said, okay, I guess I can do that. I've got $19 now. And then I needed gas and that was another dollar. And then I needed a weed whacker and a blower and that was another dollar. So I think I netted, you know, $14-15 at the end of the day. But that very quickly taught me, you know, what a P&L looked like, you know, and the economic component to running a small business. And fast forward through high school, I worked a handful of jobs, but had a functioning landscaping business. In college, I had a small construction company and always, you know, had my hands in building and making things. In high school, I focused on fine art and so really enjoy the process of creating things. And went to college for business, did two degrees in entrepreneurship and marketing, and then left to go to Atlanta for a couple of years to work for Delta Airlines in their marketing department. Came back home to do my MBA at Xavier. And when I came back to Cincinnati, I was consulting with a local nonprofit, Power Inspires Progress, which is also, they own the Venice on Vine restaurant at 12th and Vine Street. Oh, yeah. And, you know, this was pre-Lackman, pre-Atavola.
Early
yeah,
days.
Yeah, it was a bunch of empty storefronts. I think the only restaurant was Lava-Matic that was open at the time. Yeah. And worked with them on how to make that place a draw, but then also started getting engaged with the OTR chamber on how to draw more traffic into what was then the Gateway Corridor, and started doing art gallery openings in all the empty storefronts, and met my partner Josh Huser through that. And we were basically doing a when Final Friday was on Main Street, we brought it over to Vine Street, and we were averaging, you know, 4 to 6 galleries a month. And that's where Josh and I began our partnership in what is now Agar, and, you know, opened that business in the basement of a bar that he owned called Mainstay that used to be right up here on Fifth. And, you know, as all good businesses start in the basement of a bar, we quickly realized that, that wasn't the most productive, square footage that we could conduct it with. And we got really good at a lot of things over the last 15 years. We were known as the party throwing guys early on. You know, Josh comes from a nightlife and entertainment background. I come from a brand and marketing side, and we got, pretty proficient in delivering brand messages in social settings. And from there, it really, you know, began to grow the business into brand activation at that time, which then, you know, we were at the forefront of what is now experiential marketing. And so now we have a team of just under 30 with main office here in OTR. I've got some teams across the country and in other cities as well. Yeah, just wrapping up our 15th year of business.
Tell us what experiential marketing is.
Yeah, it's gotten to be a pretty broad term that kind of encompasses, you know, activation marketing, event marketing, you know, retail pop-ups, et cetera. But really at the focus of what it is the idea where you bring the consumer into a physical space and give them a memorable moment. So it's tangible. You're not giving them a digital or a print piece of marketing. You're getting to create a memory for them that allows them to walk away viewing the brand or the client in a way that they're building affinity for.
You grew up in Cincinnati.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. We'll get to Blink and co-founder of Blink and what you've done with that, and obviously what you've done in business and over the Rhine. What you're bullish on Cincinnati, and what's made you really like stay the course and really believe in it? You've been right in the middle of, you know, you're one of those behind the scenes folks that have been really part of the whole transformation of the urban core. And obviously the stuff you've done with events and things like that, but sure. What's made you stay the course with that?
Yeah, I think it's a three phase approach, or there's been three steps in that process of what's keeping me here. One, early on, you know, when I was, 24, people would take meetings with me. I'm not sure why at that point. But there was an accessibility in this city that you don't get in a major market like Atlanta. It's 1 to 2 degrees of separation versus 3 to 5. Mm-hmm. And there was a general makeup of people in downtown that wanted to see the place be better, or better than it was at that time. So, you know, that ability to open doors was it got me interested. You know, I wasn't banging my head against the wall with ideas of like, how do I bring this to life? Like,
and no one listening.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. So that was kind of phase one. Phase two, you know, there were, there's been a little bit of a shift in the last 5 years on Cincinnati's mentality and the way that we carry ourselves. We're very good at telling each other that we're good at things. Yeah. Do you know, we have great chili here, you know, that kind of storytelling. But there's been a little bit of a shift. And one of the things that I've been kind of leading the charge on, at least in the work that I'm passionate about, is reminding people that it's okay to be aspirational here, to want more. You know, it's
preach been, it, man.
Yeah, it's been spearheaded, thankfully, by a great run of all of our sports teams. That does help at a mass scale. But you know, when we created things like Blink, it it's the first time that we've really pushed the city to say, hey, let's look forward at what we want to be versus looking backwards at our history. We're really good at priding ourselves on what happened before. And there's a place for that, and that's okay.
No doubt. Yeah.
But that doesn't have to be our entire identity and our entire story. And so that that charge to me is what keeps me motivated, because there's my hope is that there are people that are inspired by, you know, winning teams, by big moments, by the space to create things, that they're going to, you know, in the next 10 years, do things that we can't imagine right now, and make it a better place for me to live in the next decade. And I'd say the third part is, you know, I've had two kids in the last 3 years. And I've been able to plant a lot of flags around the city and really get to know a bunch of the community in different parts of the city that I never thought I would in my wildest dreams. And so there's just a lot of like deep relationships here that matter to me.
I love that you're saying this all out loud, because really we're seeing a lot of this weekend with Taylor Swift, but it's the people. Mm-hmm. She's coming, of course, and that's amazing. God forbid. Mm-hmm. She's coming.
Yeah.
But the people are bringing the fun. Mm-hmm. They're making the experiences. They're doing the things that have been created. And it's so good to hear, like, that is who we are.
Mm-hmm.
And we can be more. Yeah. And we're going to be more.
Yeah.
Yeah, because it's the people who are making it.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, we're having a good run right now. The table is set for even more. You know, with the Convention Center District coming online in the next 5-10 years, I mean, I don't think people realize the day-to-day impact that project will have once it's live. The ability for us to get Class A conferences and trade shows here, it's not that sexy on paper. But my God, the doors that opens, yep, for everything surrounding that area is unbelievable. And then on top of just, you know, getting the bridge project done, it's going to be a joy to get here. You know, people are going to look at us as they're passing through with a smile on their face versus banging their head on the steering wheel, you know. Mm-hmm. And these are things that take, you know, people much smarter than I am and decades of work to pull together. But it sets a table for continuous growth over time.
But it does take all kinds of people. It takes the city's economic development office. It takes the county's, you know, their development and 3CDC. Like, mm-hmm, those people are doing, how are we going to pay for this? Like, mm-hmm, who's going to do the construction? And they're doing those kind of things. And we do write about that all the time. But then the creatives make the space.
Sure. Absolutely. Absolutely.
I'm glad to hear that, you know, just it takes people like you to push things forward.
Mm-hmm. I thought you were going to say you went to DAP.
I tried, and being a fine art major in high school and knowing that the full first year was learning how to draw, I was like, I know how to do this already, and quickly fell in love with business college. And, thankfully, my wife went to DAP, so I get to enjoy all the benefits of that education in my house every day. So it's worked out.
So can you give us some hints at what is next?
That's a great question. We're on a tear. Obviously, the sports book is opening up. We have a loaded 8-week run here of we have a new bar opening in Clifton called Alive and Well that is opening up in the old La Poste space behind the Esquire Theater.
Oh, I love La Poste.
Is that the first non-bar restaurant, not Brandon Nation, that you have? Or?
No, so okay. We have a couple others. My company, Hickory Wald, we have Rhinehouse on 12th Street.
Okay, yeah.
We have the Hannaford over in Covington. At Pike and Madison, we just reopened the Fill-In in Bellevue, Kentucky, purchased that this year. And then we have Alive and Well coming online probably August 1st. I live in Clifton. Selfishly, I wanted a awesome place to get together with my friends. And, you know, there's a nice wave of young people, A, moving into the neighborhood with their families, but also that are beginning to open businesses on Ludlow. It's one of the most charming streets in the region. And the team from Brown Bear just opened their second location 2 weeks ago, and it's been gangbusters. So just really looking to breathe some fresh air into that historic district and, mm-hmm. you know, a really interesting community. And then we also have our 8th annual Danger Wheel event coming up on the last Saturday in July, which is our adult downhill big wheel racing event. That
have
we
have you been on a big wheel?
I will candidly, I will never race in that.
I will not do that either. But I've seen
where
it.
Where is this at? So this is in Pendleton. It's down 12th okay. Street from basically Pendleton and 12th down to Broadway. It's about a 2-block run. We have 64 teams of three that race head to head for bragging rights. There's no winnings or anything, but it turns out about 10,000 people over the course of the day. As you race in the tournament bracket, the further along you go, the course gets more dangerous. The ramps go from 1 foot to 4 feet. We arm the attendees with water balloons that you can throw at the riders. There's smoke and lasers and all that kind of stuff. And it's a blast.
I'm shocked you haven't been to this, Jason.
I haven't. I would love to go to this.
It is, it's as nuts as it sounds. This was an event that me and a buddy of mine, Judd Watkins, came up with over beers as a way to invite people into the neighborhood a decade ago. And people that have never been to Pendleton before. And it was just crazy enough to work. Every year as the event kicks off, we both stand at the top of the hill and look at each other and we're like, I cannot believe we're allowed to do this.
Don't say that.
It's all by the book. You know, we take the permits out and the insurance is atrocious and the waiver is thick and everything, but people love it. And, you don't get to do that anywhere else. And so, those are the things that are on the short run. July 29th. Yeah. So those are the things coming up. And then, you know, on the Agar side, we're involved in a lot of stuff. You know, CMF, Cincinnati Music Festival is coming up. The Kroger Wellness Experience is coming up.
Which just got announced today. You guys, if you haven't gone down to it, honestly, I stumbled across it by accident because it's by our offices and I wouldn't have been intuitively be like, I want to go to the Kroger Wellness Festival. But there were just so many great talks and products because it's like a vendor. So the vendors kind of bring out these new like healthy products. And I found so many things I didn't know exist. You run in the grocery store, you run out, you might not see things, but this is where you're going to discover all of the new wellness things. And I'm actually like, literally the press release came out right before we're recording this. And I was like, ooh, that's the date of this. Write it down.
Yeah.
So, and you also, Agar, right, is having some sort of partnership with FC Cincinnati in their new mixed use development.
Yeah.
This is a big thing that's coming. This is like one of the next, we've been talking a lot about the convention center district. It's not coming out of the ground yet. In fact, I wrote a story probably, did it already appear yesterday, about how that's going to be funded. But we're really going to be start talking about this FC Cincinnati development north of the stadium. And there's some Agar partnership there. Yes.
Yeah, I can't take a ton of credit for it. I get it by osmosis, but my partner Josh is been spearheading a lot of that development with the FC team and the city of Cincinnati. He'll be bringing in and developing a boutique hotel on site there, which they've announced. They announced about a month ago, and so he's.
But we don't know what it looks like yet. So did you bring renderings with you? No,
I don't know what it looks like yet. If that gives you any context, so. Just really transforming the eastern half of the West End and the Findlay Market District as well to really build up the lifestyle centers around the stadium and stuff. So
I want to go back to the more I'm thinking about what you said, the more I'm intrigued by the access when you were a 24-year-old young man. Do you think that's even more accessible now, today? I mean, what was that, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you think, I guess sort of the general question is what's the state of our business community? You know, for so many years, it was, three or four people. Mm-hmm. And like, it's like, oh, if those three or four people don't want this, then we're not going to get it. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And is it different now, or is it still like that?
You know, the observation I have on if I were 23, 24 today, what was different for me then was we had not gone through any of the tech startup craze bubble. Mm-hmm. You know, that wasn't even a word. Hustle culture didn't exist. And we're just doing work that we thought was fun and that made money. Mm-hmm. We're profitable on day one. We didn't go take out a bunch of debt. Some years we made more money than others. And I think that's very different to where a 23 or 24 year old would view themselves today. You know, with things like Instagram, where you have this facade that creates immediate gratification, you know, the expectation for most young entrepreneurs is that, well, you know, I'm a creative director now at 22.
Yeah.
But are you, know, you know, I've got this idea, but it's not executed yet. Or, I've been working on this for 2 years and it's not profitable yet. And the reality is like, yeah, that's right. You know, these things take time to launch successful businesses.
Hard work.
Yeah. And I think, the culture for, young entrepreneurs now is that the expectation is that it happens overnight and I'm doing this tomorrow. And if not, I'm a failure. You know, the other part of it too is that the net has widened for resource for that age group. I mean, because of the startup culture and the startup tech craze, like, you know, things like the Brandery and Cincy Tech and Ocean and Centrifuge, like all these are all doors that did not exist 15 years ago for people to knock on. Now, will you get in every door? No, of course not. But there are resources that exist to help small businesses grow in this market that weren't here a decade ago. But you have to put in the work. And so I think that the table is set much better, but I think the expectation is that it's supposed to move faster, and that's not necessarily true.
Do you think 4th Street is more open-minded to all this creativity today than it was? And again, you said you got access, which was great. Mm-hmm. And give them credit for that. Do you think it's more open-minded to beyond kind of the big business mentality than it was, again, when you were 24?
Yeah. I think it's probably a building by building case. Mm-hmm. But I do think that, smart, successful C-suite leaders recognize that because of technology, there are a lot of different ways on how to solve problems now. And some of the fastest ways to tap into that expertise is to not necessarily groom from within, but it's to tap resources within the environment that may be further along. And so, there still are a lot of Fortune 500 companies in the region that fund accelerator-based work, mm-hmm. to just learn from it, you know, to be able to use it as a resource. So I think it's on the radar.
Cool.
So, I mean, I'm thinking about as you're talking, we have also noticed a shift in, we have some younger leaders. When Jason says 4th Street, it's just still, there's a lot of business power on 4th Street. It's just kind of a catch-all phrase that we shorthand it. We don't ever say it in the newspaper like, oh, 4th Street. But that's like a catch-all phrase for like the big businesses and the power. But we are starting to see some of these younger leaders. I mean, our mayor, mm-hmm. is young and vibrant and getting national attention. And mm-hmm. we're just seeing that. And former guest Brendan Call he's in his 40s. I don't think he probably wants me to out his age, but he's the president of the chamber in his 40s. And he is getting, I think we're going to start seeing a lot of different things from the chamber as he unveils like his plan. Mm-hmm. Like he's a big believer in what Blink was going to be. And then not, that is going to be one time. It wasn't going to be one time. It was mm-hmm. going to like, we're going to bring on executive director, Justin Brookhart, also a former guest, and mm-hmm. we're going to do it every other year. Yep. And then they're appointing people to boards. Like Kick Lee was just on the other week. I'm sorry about the audio, you guys. Every once in a while that happens on his podcast. But he's like amazing. And he's starting to be on these boards and super accessible. He's out in the community. He's on Facebook and he's like, what do you guys think? What should we do? And so like these entry points are the younger generation I'm starting to really see.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it is refreshing to kind of be at that tipping point where my age group is.
We didn't ask how old you were. We talked about you growing up and stuff.
I am 38 now. So, but yeah, it's inspiring and invigorating to me to see people my age doing big things. I look at, about a decade ago, I did Sea Change through the chamber. And in my class, that's how I became good friends with AFTAB because he was in my class. And there are a handful of other people in that class now that are all, you know, ascending these ranks and shifting the narrative of what we want this community to be. And it's an honor to be able to work alongside them.
I know those leadership classes are incredible. Yeah. People who have heard me talk about my Leadership Cincinnati class.
Yeah.
Changed my life.
Yeah. I mean, they're great. They're fantastic.
All right. So there's going to be no hints about Blink.
We've got some big announcements coming up in about a month. Blink has been super special. It compared to what we thought it was going to be a decade ago when we just had this idea of building an event for what a future city could look like to, you know, over 2 million people attending over 4 nights. It has blown out of the Midwest. We are fortunate enough to be able to travel across the globe to visit with sites that ask us to come visit. To learn from us. It's incredible the strength and quality and caliber of artists from around the world that want to be a part of it and leave their fingerprints on our city. And so we think that, you know, a decade from now, the work that's being done today is going to, you know, raise the bar in our arts community and also inspire, you know, a whole new generation of artists to leave their mark on Cincinnati. So it's been a lot of fun.
That's great. It's awesome. It's awesome to see what's happening.
Thanks.
Yeah. I mean, because we started out kind of, you know, you thinking about kind of the old school Cincinnati and we get hung up on talking about the past. And so awesome. But yeah, just congratulations on all your success. And
I appreciate
the things you're doing
and looking forward to your creative mind is constantly churning. So we will look forward to even different events or different ideas, different restaurants maybe coming online here in the future.
Yeah, no, I appreciate it, guys. Thanks for having me on.
That was such a great chat. I love talking about the future of Cincinnati. It's one of my favorite topics, and I really do think, at a pivot point. And so that was a really exciting conversation about, you know, where we're headed next.
Yeah, no, the thing I appreciate about Andrew is that, you know, you can still get hung up on the old school Cincinnati and where you went to high school and all, like, you know, don't say anything negative about our chili and all that. But folks like Andrew are moving the city forward and helping to move the city forward and beyond sort of dwelling on the past and our own, you know, all the little, you know, the city county rivalry of government, like moving beyond those things. And I greatly appreciate Andrew from the standpoint of, like, let's stop dwelling on those things and let's go big. Let's be a big boy city. And I appreciate him coming on and sharing about what he's doing.
All right. So you mentioned to me in passing, and I cannot wait to hear about this, that you have done something that I have not done. And I'm probably now officially the last person not to have done it. Have you taken up a new sport, Jason?
I have, pickleball.
Oh my gosh, I can't even picture it. Are there pictures?
I don't know if there are or not. It was a group of our friends in Wyoming where I live. And we've been talking about this for a while. And I've been talking about it even longer than that. I mean, I bet I've been talking about playing pickleball for like 2 to 3 years. And it was just one of those things because It fulfilled what I envisioned and more. I'm like, I watch, and I like, my parents live in one of those like golf cart neighborhoods down in off near the beach in South Carolina, and they have pickleball courts everywhere. And I'm like, oh yeah, I really want to play. I'm telling my wife, like, I really want to play. And it's finally like it took our friend in our neighborhood, Bear, great friend of mine, who like organized the group. And we finally went the other night and we did it. And we have some nice pickleball courts in our neighborhood, again, that I've driven by thousands of times.
Did you have to buy your own pickleball paddle?
So my wife got me some really cheap pickleball paddles for Christmas.
Okay.
And we use them for the first time. And they're like, yeah, these are junk. So our friend borrowed some from someone who is actually a really good, like ranked in the world.
That was a thing, but I believe it. Yes. Okay. Okay.
And happens to live in our neighborhood. And these are, of course, top of the line. So I went out, I took a picture. I used one of them. I took the picture of the logo on the paddle. Mm-hmm. And I went out and bought some, I ordered them yesterday. Shout out to Netty. That's the company. NETTIE.
I've known Jason a long time.
I am hooked. We're already planning another.
Is it like your inner competitiveness coming out? What is it?
Yes. And so there was like six of us that played. Yeah. Six of us. And at one point, because it's like in most sports, you pick it up and it takes forever.
That's true. And
pickleball is one of those sports where you pick it up and you're like, oh, you can play it right away. And you're like, oh, okay. And I'm sure like if I'm playing like really a lot better players, then I'd realize like, oh, I got a long way to go. And I do. But you're like, okay, you can see like, oh, if I work at this, I can get decent at it pretty quickly. And so at one point, there was a hit and I'd missed a couple hit like volleys or whatever. And I like slammed my paddle down, my cheap paddle. Yeah.
Shocking.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. I had to hear about that later when we got home, as I should have. But yeah, like you should do it.
I mean, the invitation has been open from several people for a long time, but you guys, I don't know, like the pickleball courts on Sawyer Point, lovely. I would rather go roller skating.
Yeah.
Like next door at the outdoor rink. I love it.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
But yes. Yeah, so, all right. This summer we're going to put on the bucket list. We're going to add pickleball to the list of things I have to do by the end of the summer.
It's fun. It's great camaraderie. In our neighborhood, there's like a couple, you have like, there's like leagues and then there's also just open like community nights where anyone can come and like you can, even if you just went by yourself, yeah, you could find a partner and do it, meet new people. And I was watching all the, like there's six courts and I was watching these other folks like, these people have played for a long time, but no,
because it has been a thing for a long time.
But then there were folks that looked like, yeah, they're probably pretty new and everyone just seemed like really cool and like, okay, you know, no one's like, oh, I'm not playing that person kind of thing. So I think it's a cool culture and yeah.
All right. We let Jason off the podcast for like 2 seconds and he becomes a jock. All righty. Fine. Whatever, Jay.
I think maybe I finally found a hobby.
Oh.
I've been looking for one for a long time.
We missed you. So thank you for joining us today.
Great to be here.
All right. That's a wrap, guys.